Welcome to Water Insider, a podcast brought to you by DHI. Whether you work with urban or inland water systems, marine or offshore, we get experts to discuss everything water, so you can be the first to learn the latest in water tech and trends.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you are. Welcome and enjoy listening to this podcast about integrated urban water management. My name is Honza Krejčík. I'm urban water professional and currently I'm leading urban water services growth in DHI. My guest today is Jan Katkowski, senior water specialist at World Bank and my former colleague from the water business. Welcome in this podcast.
Happy to be here and thanks for inviting.
The topic of today is about integrated urban management. What is it and also what is it good for? I mean, why we are even talking about that? And straight to the topic as such, when you hear the words integrated urban water management, would you emphasize one of these words better than the others?
Well, yeah, you know, it's when I hear integrated water management, I usually tend to see a little bit more than just the water supply network and the sewer system network. Often we tend to kind of limit our views to these very technical parts of the system. But in fact, the integrated water management in the urban scale is also about surface water, about streams, about groundwater, which is under the city. In an integrated way, you have to include all the components of the hydrological cycle, which are not only limited to wild nature, they also coexist in the urban landscape.
That's exactly what is my view as well. So I would say that the emphasis is on the word integrated, right? And yes. When we say integrated, as you just said, it's covering the entire complex of the systems, environment, but not only the technical and environmental components, but also the stakeholders, for instance.
If we talk about stakeholders, and maybe stakeholders in a little bit more broader scale, what's coming to your mind and who are the most important stakeholders within integrated urban water management?
Well, again, the stakeholders, I would say, are all people that are somehow affected by the water and the water cycle and the water systems. And in that sense, it's basically everybody. Again, it's sometimes the term of stakeholders is used only to the institutional players, which is the administration, but also companies, businesses, and we often forget about the general public, which means everybody, including you and me. We are all the stakeholders of the water cycle and the water system.
Speaking institutional stakeholders, I think it's pretty obvious how they may benefit from applying of integrated urban water management principles, for instance, the water utilities. But when it's coming to individual stakeholders, I mean people, the citizens, that's usually a little bit more invisible or unclear how these stakeholders can benefit from applying the principles of integrated urban water management, right?
Well, of course, you know, we all rely on the technical systems which support the water supply and sanitation part of the picture, but we also rely on the natural resources which surround us. We also rely on the landscape. So, for my personal example, I have a small stream flowing next to my apartment block, which is, 80% channelized, 50% flowing underwater in a pipe. And I every time I pass this stream, I have this reflection, why is this not part of the urban landscape? And what huge potential is actually wasted this way?
That's a nice example. And it leads me directly to another topic that I would like to discuss a little bit within the framework of integrated urban water management principles, and that's sustainability. We both probably would agree with the definition that sustainable water management in urban areas means that the system meets the needs of the present society without compromising the ability of the future generations to meet their own needs. And the example that you have mentioned from your neighborhood is very likely exactly the one that shows how the decisions in the past can affect the use of the water systems in the future.
Yes, and probably not also taking into account the stakeholders or the general public and their needs and preferences. Very much systems, water systems in urban in the urban space have been administered top down. Decisions were made, areas were dedicated to development, and then the natural landscape was kind of destroyed or at least hidden. So that's not the way for the future, at least what I think.
What the institutions can do that will not repeat these individual or standalone approaches in the future again?
Well, I think that in many cities the institutions have already changed their paradigm. And they have already changed the approach, and they have a much broader vision of what the urban water management includes. So I would say that this is this probably originates somewhere from education, and also the impact of environmentalists and different organizations and institutions which deal with the environment and also broaden their vision as time goes by. And also we are more aware every day of the connections, the pressures, the impacts which we are imposing on the nature and how it reacts back on us. So all these elements, I would say, encourage a more systemic approach to urban development. And of course, water is part of that.
How do you see the importance of the regulatory framework? Is this the driver for better water management in cities, or is it a push from society? I mean, the citizens who are requesting a better environment, or does this coexist hand in hand?
I think it's going hand in hand, and the regulatory framework should develop as also the aspirations and needs of the cities develop. It's definitely a very strong tool, the legal framework, that can drive towards different behaviors and different approaches and different developments. But the idea has to be first, right? And then the legal framework is just a tool to implement the approach.
Yes, I believe that we may conclude here that achieving the people's wish to live in cities that use as much as our water resources the most efficient and sustainable way is only possible when regulatory framework reflects this people's wish and serves as a driver for managing the water in the cities in an integrated and sustainable manner. Of course, there are still challenges to be addressed, and we will be talking about these challenges and how to cope with them in the second part of our podcast. So until now, Jan, thank you very much for your contribution, and I'm looking forward for being with you in the second part after a short break.
Thanks for listening to Water Insider. You can find more episodes on our website, dhigroup.com, or anywhere you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow us.